In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you as we continue our look at the Advent season. Today, you know, this whole week, we've been looking at Advent both from, how do we prepare, with family traditions, and how do we prepare spiritually? And of course, today is part two on our spiritual journey of Advent today. And, wanted to get your Advent off to a great start this week, as we, as we prepare these 26 days or so of Advent, preparing for Christ coming at Christmas. And I thought, what better way to do that than have a week of shows really helping us to prepare from a practical perspective with the family and the parish, but also within ourselves. How do we prepare our hearts to receive the King of Kings into our lives into a deep and meaningful way? And so, today's show is part two, Advent spirituality, preparing ourselves for the coming of the King. And of course, we would love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And I also want to send out a shout out to all of the parishes who are doing Advent missions or Advent retreats, in helping their parishioners or a Catholic business, your staff members and stuff, preparing them, with a retreat experience, which is always awesome, and because obviously Lent gets all of the attention, right? When, Lenten missions and Lenten retreats and things like that. And Advent, is kind of like the stepsister, I guess. But we'll see today that Advent is also a time of penitence, a penitential season, which is why we wear purple. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. So I hope that your week is off to a great start. And I hope that here at Beacon of Truth, we've helped you to enter Advent with a sense of true preparation, right? With a true sense of getting ourselves ready, our hearts in our own individual lives and also in our homes, our children, ideas that our children, as we talked about earlier this week, traditions that they can bring into their own families one day, right? Because this is the way we make the Eucharistic encounter, help that Eucharistic encounter to continue to live in our children's hearts after the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, when they see these the practice of our faith and the love of Jesus being lived out in the home, especially during these beautiful seasons, so they can really understand what this time of year is about. But just like we have to prepare our homes and our kitchens and get presents and gifts, we also have to prepare our hearts and our lives spiritually as well. We did Word of God Wednesday, obviously on Wednesday for the readings coming up for this Advent, Sunday of Advent, second Sunday of Advent. But remember last Sunday, this past Sunday, the readings, Jesus said, stay awake. To stay awake. So we need to be awake spiritually, because we don't know. And Jesus was very clear about this. We don't know when the time is going to come that that we will meet God face to face. So we always have to be ready to meet Jesus, and so Advent's also about that, too, remembering, in a sense, our mortality and that all of us, will one day have to stand before Jesus and give an account for our life. And I know that when my time comes, I want to be able to stand before Jesus and I did everything that I could, even though, I fell at times, just like, you fell, Lord, as you were carrying your cross. I tried to carry my cross with dignity, with courage, in the midst of ridicule that I've received, and all of us who stand up for the faith, and especially in this culture today, you have to expect to be ridiculed and mocked. But some people avoid that, they don't want to deal with it, but we have to stand strong and firm in our faith, because even in the midst of the ridicule, People are learning about our faith. They're learning about Jesus. They're seeing that this faith is real, that we're standing for something that's broader and deeper, even than the ocean itself. That there's a beauty and a truth to our faith that carries us through difficult times and through really awesome times as well. And this season of Advent is a reminder of all of that for us. At least it should be, that we have to be witnesses of God's love and God's presence to the world. So I think the best way that we can show people what this season is about, who again are just so caught up in the materiality of what this season is about, they've kind of lost the true understanding of what Advent is about. Show them by our witness and example. And so we're hopeful that hopefully we're helping you to do that today. Again, with part two in today's show, Advent Spirituality, continuing our discussion and preparing ourselves for the coming of Jesus. And again, we'd love to hear from you, Beacon at EWTN.com. And I know that the EWTN staff is also preparing to meet the Lord. And the people who are preparing, of course, are the people who bring you this show each and every day. Matt Gabinski, who's screening your calls, Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who help us out on social media, and our producer, who's always prepared, the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing today?
I'm good. I don't know that I'm always prepared, but I will say I love this week. As you know, we've been talking about Advent. Priest on Sunday said that we should think about Advent as a reset for our preset. So what is the preset for the new year, the new frame of mind, the new traditions, the new I guess, for a lack of better words, the relational part of it with God? Like, well, what are the things that we really need? Because again, especially as we get into the week of peace, like what is it in Advent that you need in your relationship with God that can set you up, so the preset in your reset, to be able to have a place that allows you to find peace in the new year and through the Advent season.
Yeah, I like that. That's the thing about finding peace, because that really is an important point, because this is a season where things get really hectic. The busyness of the shop, and of course we just had this, we had Black Friday last week, and then Cyber Tuesday, and I mean, again, all these marketing things to get you thinking about, this season and giving and all of that. But also, there's the gift of ourselves that we have to make of ourselves as well. And I think in the midst of all of the craziness of the season, to find that peace and to focus and center ourselves, I think is extremely important. As we remember, not just with our minds, with our hearts, what this season is truly all about.
Well, and we had a really great discussion Thanksgiving week, because both my daughters were in from Michigan, and so just having like a lot of times our holidays are filled with like either fun and games or reminiscence. And so this year somehow, praise God, was a reminiscence year. And so we were just talking about that whole, when they're, they're, because they're making adult choices now, right? And I was like, hey, always remember what we always talked about when you were kids. Where's your peace in the decisions that you're making? And I know we've talked about that all year, so it definitely lines up perfectly with this week's, Peace Week. But in that, it is a reminder to all of us that we should always be seeking peace. While, yes, our idea or our goal is to be one with God so that we can get to heaven someday, we also are pulling from his resources and power and gifts this side of heaven so that we can have peace, so that we can not be frazzled by the holidays or the traveling frustrations and all the stuff, right? Just to be in that place of, okay, God, you're not rocked by what's happening to me, so I want to light that candle this week and find a place to be at peace with you and with what's happening in my life.
Yeah, and we that's a great point. And sometimes we just have to just let go. I mean, we can't worry about things that we can't control. And I have to remember that myself too. Like, I'm flying all the time. So if the flight's late, flight's delayed, or the travel day doesn't go as I had hoped, what what can you do? I mean,
Yeah.
you can't change anything, right? So, I mean, you can get angry, you can get frustrated, you can get upset, because now you have to change your plans, or you have to adapt to the situation you find yourself in, and but so you can stress about it, or you could be at peace with it. You say, you know what? This is, yeah, no, it is frustrating. Acknowledge it is frustrating,
Yeah.
but I can't do anything. So I might as well just go with it,
And in
you
this
know.
day and age, everybody has a phone, so don't let them capture you at your ugliest moment.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You don't want to end up on a YouTube video, that's for sure.
Right? Come on.
I'm Deacon Harold Brick-Simmons, listening to Beacon of Truth. We're talking about Advent spirituality. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
That perfect driving playlist.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Nice. I love that.
Yeah. Just the vibe, right?
Yeah.
That's always my favorite when I go out with friends and if a band is playing, like you gravitate to where you land because you're like, man, they sound great. Let's go in there and eat, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. It draws you in so many different ways, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If we have music at Mass, it's supposed to draw you into, like, right at the beginning, you know, as the procession is going in, you know, the singing draws you in to that moment, you know, in preparation for what's about to happen.
Yeah.
You know, receiving Christ in word and sacrament. And you know, and again, music is a wonderful way to draw you in, to just kind of block your mind out from all the things going on in the outside world and draw you into the mystery.
Yeah, and you can't use the excuse you don't know the music, because during Advent, it's the songs we know because we sing them every year, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and we're still singing some of the songs that I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Growing up in the parish in Hillside, New Jersey. Christ the King. Shout out my old parish.
OG.
So those songs do bring back some wonderful memories as well as what this, again, reminding us what this time of year is really all about,
Amen.
which is awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Brick-Simmons, listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we're finishing our week of Advent preparation. You know, we had two shows looking at how do we prepare in our homes and our parishes for Advent. And then yesterday we looked at, how do we prepare ourselves spiritually? Well, today's part two, Advent spirituality. How do we prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus into the world and into our lives in a special way this Advent season? And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, as we get closer to Christmas, you know, there's the talk of Saint Nick. Well, tomorrow is the feast day as Saint Nicholas. You can find out more on him at EWTN.com. But understanding truly where the traditions come from, what they mean in our Catholic faith, goes a long way as we enter in and continue our discussions here this week about Advent. But check it out, EWTN.com, as we celebrate Advent together on the Saint Nicholas feast day.
All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises from the Wisdom Literature of the Old Testament. And these are Psalms, of course, that we hear in every Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And we take these beautiful hymns of praise and we connect them to your everyday lived experience. So enjoy sharing these reflections with you. And today, we're continuing our look at Psalm 107. So 107 is the first psalm in Book 5 of the Psalms. So Psalms 107 to 150 is the last book of the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are broken into five books. And today we're looking at Psalm 107. So Psalm 107 is a very long psalm, and it's a 43 verses long. There's no prescript or superscript to this psalm, but it starts off, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." I love that. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. And that's something that we should never forget. It's and that's also a reminder of Psalm 136. You know, that's the one with the repeating lines. You know, for his mercy endures forever. That's a Kai Leo Lam Hash. Yeah. Kai Leo Lam Hashdo. Yeah. So for his mercy endures forever, over and over again. Beautiful reminder. So that's how this psalm started off. He redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Let those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, he gathered from far our lands, from east and west and north and south. And it kind of, this walks through a little bit of the historical narrative of the people of Israel being saved by the Lord, you know, as a number of these psalms do. You know, why? Because the psalms share about a lot of these historical psalms share about how God has come to save his people, you know, and obviously here in the Old Testament, it's through the major event of salvation, which is the Exodus, right? And that relationship with God during that Exodus kind of frames the relationship between Israel and the Lord. And so there's a number of these psalms that recount the journey of the Israelites people, Israelite people with God. So it's yes, the Exodus obviously is the major event, but it also sets the stage and sets the tone for the look at throughout the Old Testament and, quite frankly, in our time today, our walk and our relationship with God as well. You know, we look back on kind of our history, and we see how God has worked in our lives over time. And in many different and beautiful ways. And you know, it's good to take time to reflect on that, especially during this time of year. You know, we're looking at the coming of Christ. We're looking at coming of Christ into our lives in a special way. And I think Psalms like this one, well, 107, that gives a historical perspective, will help us to look at how we have walked with God in our lives. Both through the ups and the downs, the trials and the tribulations, the times we were angry with God, the times that we couldn't stop thanking God, you know, for all of those, you know, we need to be grateful to God for. And today, we're going to be looking at this psalm, starting at Psalm, before, sorry, verse 35. So, Psalm 107, starting at verse 35. He changes desert into pools of water, thirsty ground into springs of water. All right, so remember that when they reached Meribah and Massah in the desert, you know, although Meribah and Massah mean trial and testing, right? Because that's where the place where the Israelites tested the Lord. You know, where the first incident was after the Red Sea, crossing the Red Sea, they take a few steps into the desert. And all of a sudden, they're complaining because there's no water, you know. And after the incredible miracle that they witnessed, how God, you know, brought them through the Red Sea, you know, the sea was parted on both sides. They came through. The Egyptian army followed them in. They got stuck in the mud. Then the water came cascading and crushed all their enemies, with no survivors. I mean, they saw that. They saw God's power to save them. You know, and then, on the, you know, like a few minutes, it seems like a few minutes later, they're complaining because, you know, they have no water. Oh, we wish we were slaves again. At least we had stuff to eat and drink back then. It's like, what? Are you insane? Yeah, did you just see what God did? But again, that's the story of our life as well. But this part of the psalm is a beautiful reminder. He changes desert into pools of water. So those dry, dark places in our lives, you know, that we experience that aridness, you know, those sore spots in our face, that God is the oasis. He's the one that brings relief in that desert. You know, he's the one that brings life-giving water into the dryness of our spiritual lives, into the dryness of you know, our everyday routines, you know, that sometimes begin to get monotonous, you know, and we just so are comfortable with our routine that we get comfortable not allowing God to change our hearts, you know, to come in and shake things up a little bit, you know. And so it's the Lord that changes desert into pools, thirsty ground into springs of water, right? Our souls are longing and thirsting for you, my God, you know, as some of the other Psalms say, where Jesus says on the cross, you know, I thirst. You know, he's thirsting for souls, you know, in that suffering, he's thirsting to give us that relief. It's beautiful. There he settles the hungry and they establish a city to dwell in. You know, so what are we hungry? What we're really hungering for, what we're really thirsting for, what we're yearning for is a deep, intimate relationship with God. And only God is the one that can establish that. You know, he establishes a city to dwell in. You know, he gives us a home. You know, in that relationship with God, he's leading us home. He's bringing us home. He's bringing us to a place that nothing or no one on this earth can bring us to. You know, that place of joy, that place of peace, that place of just resting in the Lord.
Yeah, and I think Advent's a great reminder of as we prepare for Christ coming, we have to be reminded, or we need to remind ourselves of what God does to prepare for us, right? So while, you know, he knows all, he's, you know, he's aware of what's going to happen before it enters into our life, to realize how far he has gone ahead of us to be able to help us to be prepared for what we need to face the things that we're going to face in the coming day and the coming year. And so, yes, let's celebrate and prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus, but also celebrate what God is preparing for us so that we don't have to worry, that we can be in a peaceful place.
Yes, amen. I love that. And you know, and that's what Advent's about. It's about preparing for the coming of the Lord and preparing our hearts, like you said, to receive that peace, which is, again, that Jesus says is beyond all understanding.
Yeah.
And what happens when we find that peace, right? It says, they sow fields and plant their vines, which yield an abundant harvest. You know, so now that we're at a place of peace with the Lord, now we can kind of settle in. It says that, you know, they sow their fields and plant their vine. Let's settle in. Let's start building our life with the Lord here, which yield an abundant harvest. Why? You know, just like we talk about the sower. Yeah, we throw the seeds, but God tills the soil and gives it fertilizer and sunlight and allows that seed of faith to grow. Our hearts has to be open to receive that nourishment that the Lord wants to give us in preparing us for him to be in our lives in a really powerful and meaningful way.
Yeah, and I think too, as we think about, well, I've just been, you know, so thirsty for so long or so hungry for so long. The great thing is you never really want to lose that thirst or hunger, but you want to make sure that you're feeding that thirst and hunger with the things of God and not with the things of the world.
Yeah, it's just like you know, if you eat too much junk food, it's going to be pleasurable at the outset, but then you're going to get sick.
Right.
You know, so it's like that too. You feed your things on the things of the world because they're attractive, because they look good, because, you know, it may taste good, you know, but ultimately it's not healthy for us,
Yeah.
right? So we have to have new the food that nourishes a deep, rich spiritual life. And of course, as Catholics, that for us is also the Eucharist. You know, and finally, in this verse 38, he blesses them. They grow in numbers. He does not let their cattle decrease, right? So it's an agrarian society, so they often use images of farming. But the idea, you know, when we sow our fields, and we sow our hearts in God's mercy, and plant our vines, the vines of our hearts in his love, he will bless us and we will increase. Increase in grace, increase in love, and increase in God's presence in our lives. So love that. All right. We're taking a look at Advent Spirituality Part 2 as we continue to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord this Advent season. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
It's that traveling down the road that you need when you're like,
yeah, see, as we're heading into the weekend here again, people may be still, you know, still traveling or maybe, you know, going and get ready to do some Christmas shopping, you know, take advantage of those sales that are out there. You know, here's some music for you to get you to prepare your heart to go out there and battle the things of the world.
Yeah. When you, with as much as you travel through the year, are there airports that you look forward to being in? They just all look the same at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of familiarity, you know, because here I am again at this, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. I don't necessarily look forward to the airport. You know, it's just like a means to an end for
sure.
me, you know, unless the airport's like a destination, like Singapore, the Changi Airport in Singapore. That's like a destination. You know, some people will, when people come to town, they bring them to the airport. Like, wait a minute, I just landed here. But no, you haven't seen the airport. Like, it's like its own destination in itself.
That's
I
cool.
guess that would be the only place. You know, but I don't go to Singapore at all. I used to go regularly, but I haven't been there in a while. So, but that is a beautiful airport.
That's good to know.
I'm Deacon Halbert. Somebody's listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're continuing our final look today in Advent preparation, Advent spirituality part two. So for the shows earlier this week, we looked at how to prepare our homes and our parishes for the coming of Jesus. And we had Worfkofer's Word of God Wednesday, looking at the readings for this coming Sunday, second Sunday of Advent. And yesterday we did part one, looking at how do we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. You know, we there's so much great information that we couldn't squeeze it all into one show, so we're doing two. So part two today, Advent spirituality. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, as we do light that peace candle, it's always great to know that as we're going through Advent together, great programs available for you. EWTN.com can give you a list, whether you're on the radio side with us or the TV side, but also subscribing to our YouTube channel allows you to be able to stay in the know of new programs, new opportunities, new featurettes that you can check out so you don't miss out on moments of peace when you need them. And we're always loving that we get to be a part of that journey with you. So as you light that peace candle this week, celebrating Advent together with EWTN Radio.
All right, Advent spirituality part two today on Beacon of Truth. And again, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. So I thought before we dive in with some practical things that we can do to prepare ourselves spiritually, I thought I'd just kind of walk through a little bit of a historical perspective on Advent. So Advent comes from the Latin word aveniat or aventus, which means coming. So if you pray the Our Father in Latin, right, Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, right? Thy kingdom come, right? Preparing for the coming of Christ's kingdom into our lives and into our hearts. So that's where the word Advent comes from. It means the coming, right? Preparing for the arrival of Christ. Obviously not just preparing for Christ at Christmas, right? Coming into the world through the incarnation and as a baby in a stable in Bethlehem, but also for the second coming of Christ as well. You know, and I think the readings are really showing that it's a joyous time preparing for salvation to come into the world, but also a time of deep reflection, knowing that, you know, Christ is going to come again at the end of the world, but also at the end of our lives. So it's a kind of a double preparation here, you know, and I think we have to hold both of those in tension, you know, the coming of Christ into the world and the coming of Christ into our world, you know, at the end of our life, you know. So the Catechism talks about this. It says when the church celebrates the liturgy of Advent each year, she makes present this ancient expectancy of the Messiah for the sharing the preparation of the long-awaited Messiah's and Savior's coming, but also our desire for his second coming as well. You know, so Advent's really a double preparation. You know, I think it's important to remember that, you know, because again, and it shouldn't be something that second coming shouldn't fill us with, you know, with darkening and gloom. You know, Advent is about the coming of the light into the darkness of sin, the darkness of death. You know, we talked about this before, how that's why Christmas comes at this time of year. near the winter solstice, again in this hemisphere, right, the northern hemisphere, where there's the most amount of darkness, right, the shortest day of the year, that's where the light comes into the world, right? So that's really the thinking for this Advent season. So the general norms for the liturgical year and the calendar, yes, there is such a thing, emphasize that Advent is a time of devout and joyful expectation. Also underlines its solemn aspect by calling for restraint and preparation, right? So again, not getting caught up in the materiality of the season, where like all these Amazon and all these places are luring you into online shopping, or if you like to brave the crowds at the mall or your favorite super center or whatever, and some people like that energy. They like to go through the crowds and actually go into the store and look through stuff, and that's not me. I'm not, I just, even no matter what time of year, I'm just not a shopper, unless I'm going for music or something like that, like going to a music store, a guitar store or something like that. That's a different experience. But most of the time, I'm not much into shopping. But again, yeah, so we have to remember, yes, of course, we need to be prepared by doing so, of course, the practical things, getting presents, preparing meals and travel arrangements and all that kind of stuff. But it's just as important, I would even say more important, to prepare our minds and our hearts, which is why we spent this week doing these shows, helping you ho hopefully to start this Advent season off with a mindful preparedness for the coming of the Lord. And notice that we also wear purple during Advent. And the other season we wear purple, of course, is Lent. And so purple is traditionally associated with penance and humility and a time of soul searching, right? And so that's the kind of the parallel between the two seasons of Advent and Lent. And so there are seasons of preparation, right? There are seasons of penitence, because there's some Advent prayer services, penance services as well in some parishes, do not just Lenten penance service. That's where they have a penance service, and then priests from other parishes come in and hear confessions. I think a wonderful parallel to that would be to do the same thing during Advent. Have or at least have having more time for confessions, right, in the parish. Oh, maybe another day during the week where people can come in as a way to truly prepare their hearts to receive Jesus. And so the Advent colors, purple, remind us also, along with parallel with Lent, that it's a season of preparation. And let's not forget the other thing that Advent shares with Lent. Well, not exactly, but there's a parallel there. There's Gaudete Sunday, which is the third Sunday of Advent, and there's Laetare Sunday in Lent. I think it's the fourth Sunday in Lent. So there's a parallel. That's where we wear the rose or the pink colored, that some people don't like pink. It's a rose colored vestments that you see then. Why? Because the rose is a blending of purple with the white, right? Because Christmas season is white, and then Easter season is also white, and so it's kind of a blending of the purple and the white. You get kind of get this rose color, which is a visual, a beautiful actual visual reminder that we're almost there. We're almost at the time of Jesus' coming. We're almost at the time of the Paschal mystery of Holy Week, for Laetare Sunday and Lent. So I think I love that about our faith. It's very visual, so we have the Advent wreath, we have the three purple candles, and then the rose colored candle as well. So these are all, ways that our senses are also engaged in our faith. See, taste, touch, smell. We hear the music at Mass. We can smell the incense or the candles as they're burning. We can see the colors of the Advent wreath and the purple that we're using at Mass. We hear the music. I mean, there's so that the, all the senses are engaged. We taste, the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus. So all of our senses are engaged in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and especially during these special seasons. There's beautiful reminders of what, not only what the season is about, but really what our life is all about as well. So, what are some of the practical things that we can do to prepare? Well, pray daily. I know that seems, so of course pray daily, but hold on. Again, sometimes we get caught up in our routine, right? We all have a morning routine, let's say, like when you wake up, whether that's getting the kids ready for school, or whether it's, getting your cup of coffee, we should have daily prayer, which kind of bookends our day. So at least at a minimum, you pray at the start of the day, and then you say some prayers at the end of the day. And obviously for this time of year, maybe Advent specific prayers that that you say in the morning and also in the evening as well. One of the prayers that I love and look forward to toward the end of Advent are the O antiphons, right? So the and what's interesting about the O antiphons, if you look at O Come, O Come Emmanuel, that's basically a song. Each verse of the song are one of the O antiphons. So these are the antiphons that are used in the Liturgy of the Hours of the Divine Office during evening prayer. And they're called the O antiphons, like O Root of Jesse, O come Emmanuel, O come now wisdom from on high. Oh, it's like O come, O come, and all different verses. Of course, from the O come Emmanuel. Well, those are called the O antiphons. And so maybe, praying those O antiphons is kind of a adding to your morning or evening prayer, kind of draws you more in to what the Advent season is all about, this time of preparation. I love that. In fact, I have a book, not a book, it's more like a booklet that talks about the O antiphons. I think I got that from an Advent mission that I did several years ago in a parish. They were giving them out as a resource. Obviously I can't remember where because I travel so much, but I remember getting that and keeping it, and I use it as a resource as part of my Advent prayer and preparation as well. And of course, if you pray the Liturgy of the Hours, you'll see that there are specific prayers that are used for the Advent season. Again, which draws us deeper into the mystery as well. And one thing you do for the kids, those Advent calendars. I mean, my kids love this. They had the Advent calendars, and like every day you'd open up, there'd be a chocolate inside of it, like those calendars or Advent calendars like that have chocolate inside, and it was a kind of a dual thing. So we talk about the Advent season, preparing for the coming, and then there'd be a little treat inside. So it's kind of a both and kind of a thing. So they're learning about the season, but also getting a little treat as well. And we one of the things that we also did was have the Advent wreath around the table, which we talked about a couple of days ago as well. So praying daily and adding Advent specific prayers into our prayer routine. Another thing we can do is to simplify our surroundings. One of the things I remember living in the monastery was decluttering, of the space, bringing kind of a noble simplicity into these preparation seasons of Advent and Lent. So take the time to simplify your life, reflect on the simplicity of heart. Sometimes when things get a little bit complicated, just pull back, remember the beauty of simplicity. Maybe take some things out of your life that are distractions, or at least put them to the side for now and just focus on just keeping things really simple, and creating an environment in your home where, you're decluttering, not spring cleaning, but just decluttering, just moving things around or putting things away, you know, so that physical environment is a way to draw you spiritually into this season of preparation as well. You know, it just like you would you go through the house, you like dust off things and clear off cobwebs. You know, you want to clear some of those cobwebs out of our mind and out of our hearts as well. You know, and I think again, adoration would be a fantastic way of simplifying, you know, of just, you know, going before the Lord and just saying, Lord, you know, just help me to just settle down, you know, just to make things easier. Or simpler, not easier, because you know, because life a lot of times is not really easy, but simpler, to simplify the things in my life so that I can focus more on you and your presence and your love in my own life.
Yeah, and I know a lot of times, you know, you talk about the Advent calendars. It didn't really, like, I won't say that I didn't think it wasn't working, but when you are in your traditions of the holidays, you're wondering when you attach the life lesson or the spiritual lesson, you know, do the kids really get it? Do they really understand it? And now with teens in the house, like, I see them not only looking forward to the Advent calendar, as simple and maybe as, you know, elementary as it may feel. For them, it is as much of a tradition in understanding where their place in their heart is for Advent as it is lighting the candle or going, you know, to service, you know, Christmas Eve together or whatever it might be. But I love that they've latched onto those traditions because of the spiritual connection. So if you think, all the kids want is the candy, they're not understanding what's happening. Just keep doing it. Like, it does set in, and then they take that with them as they get older.
And it's that's an excellent point. And I think all the and that adds power to the visuals. So when they go to church, all of a sudden they say, "Oh, wait a minute. We changed from green to purple. You know, what's all that about?" And then they associate it with the time of year. It's colder. It gets darker a lot earlier. You know, we're wearing purple. You know, you're starting to see a lot more, Christmassy kinds of things going on. So, as they begin to notice visually, there's different things happening. You know, they begin to associate that with the spiritual aspect. You know, so I think what you said is extremely important. Just keep doing it. You know, that repetition, because you know, as they get older, they'll be able to appreciate, I think, more what this season is about. Especially if we talked about earlier in the week, you start building family traditions that hopefully they'll carry into their own families one day. You know, but even more than that, carry in their own hearts, you know, what this season is about. You know, because if they have it ingrained in their hearts. You know, which is strengthened and nourished by the visual things that they see, and of course the Eucharist. And then they'll begin to say, "This is really something that's important and special, and this is something I want to be part of my own family one day." You know, so yeah,
Well,
I love that.
and I know we've talked about this, and it always bears repeating of the fact of that our kids emulate and mirror our behaviors, right? So we wonder, well, why do they act that way? Well, what have I done to displays that, you know? And sometimes that's a little soul crushing as adults, like, oh, I gave my child that habit. But to know that you can be intentional in your faith, because not only is it important to you, but then they understand you better by why it's important. Like, I want my kids to understand that the things in my faith are important to me, because when I wasn't following God's plan and I wasn't, you know, consulting Him in my life, the mistakes I made and the places I ended up as a result of that and the things I lost as a result of that is why it's important for me to stay close to God, to be in the throes of all the rituals and traditions and treats and whatever it might be, because I want to be as close to Him as possible. It's that thirst and hunger we talk about, right? Because like we were saying, like, when you have a feast during the holidays and you've had like too much sugar, too many pieces of pie, the first time you go to bite into an apple, you're like, oh my, that is the most amazing apple, right? And I think that's how we are during Advent, because we have allowed ourselves through the year in places to drift away from Him or we see our kids may feel lost or struggling. So if we're mirroring how we handle things or how we set ourselves up, right, we train for the fight. And if they see us training and understand why we do it, then they also will want to train because they see the benefits when you're in a funky place of life, but you don't have a funky headspace.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And actually, which works beautifully into our next point about fasting and performing acts of self-denial. So remember, we talked about before that this is a penitential season. You know, it's sort of a parallel to Lent. Obviously, Lent lends itself to being more penitential because it's leading into the passion and death of Jesus. But remember, this is also preparing for Christ coming into our lives as well. So yeah, fasting obviously isn't as emphasized as much in Advent, but I think it's something that could be extremely helpful to us as well. So, you know, fasting, not just from food, but maybe from some of those indulgent desserts that is typical for this time of year, or just, you know, maybe Wednesday or Friday, you know, not having any, not just abstinence, not having meat, but really like fasting, maybe only eating one meal a day or something like that. Again, just a reminder that, yes, it's a preparation for the joy of Jesus coming, but it's also a preparation, you know, that kind of a cleansing, soul cleansing. Fasting is a soul cleansing practice, or, you know, that helps us to remember that Christ is going to be coming at the end of our world as well. So we need to be physically, spiritually, emotionally ready to receive Jesus in every aspect of our lives. And so, you know, indulge in not watching a television show or sports or wherever it may be. Again, that longing, that hungering from fasting is a reminder that we're really hungering, thirsting, longing for, desiring is a deep, rich experience with Jesus.
Yeah. And and I think as we talk about resets, it is important that we don't just attach fasting to our hunger for food, but fasting of time, fasting of, you know, situations, things that we remove ourselves from for a time. Doesn't mean it's always that way, but you pull back from something so you can not only see what you can do more with your time, resources, and so what, but also how you feel. A better clarity of God's voice into your own heart and soul. And to me, that's the way to enter into a new year, man. It's like when people go, hey, how was your Advent? It was peaceful, and I heard from God in ways I hadn't heard from. And what a banner way to celebrate your Advent, because then you are able to be in that place that the new year is not so much about goal orientation as is, yeah, I'm close enough to God to whatever the next 12 months brings, that I know that I can discern his voice from my own agenda.
Yeah, and that's a good reminder too, that Advent is a new year for us as Catholics, right?
Sure.
And, you know, we say Happy New Year as we did at the beginning of this week. You know, we wished everybody Happy New Year. And so just like you have New Year's resolutions, you know, this is the start of our new year, a liturgical year.
Yeah.
You know, so in a sense, you know, these Advent preparations is also almost like new, like resolutions as well, to become closer to God in very powerful and meaningful ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm Deacon Harold Brooks. Everybody's listening to Beacon of Truth. And we're talking about Advent Spirituality Part 2. How do we prepare ourselves? And this, today's show is focusing more on, you know, the penitential aspects of Advent, you know, with some parallels to Lent as a season of preparation for Christ's coming. So so we already talked about praying every day, simplifying our surroundings, fasting and self-denial. And another thing we could do is performing acts of charity. You know, Pope Leo put out that beautiful document, De Lexite, you know, I have loved you, for the, you know, talking about the poor. You know, and so maybe reading that through that document and remembering that there are people out there that are homeless, that are struggling, you know, and maybe going to that homeless shelter and helping out as a family, you know, doing that together. Or maybe as yourself, before you come home from work, you know, you spend an extra hour, you know, at the homeless shelter, or maybe during your lunch break, going to the homeless shelter and helping out. you know, is a really way of showing Christ's love to this broken and hurting world. And finally, you know, laughing, rejoicing, showing some joy of the Lord, you know, that draws people into the beautiful life of faith and what this season is all about. All right. Well, next time, my friends, we're going to look at honoring parents who don't deserve it. And that's such a powerful topic. We're going to break that into two shows. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. Until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.